Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I thank God that He's with us. I thank God that He's always with us. The Lord is mightily moving. Now, the Lord has a plan for every situation. No situation ever sneaks up on the Lord. So when we follow God, we're following a perfect plan, well thought out, well evaluated, because the Lord our God is appropriately responding to every situation He knows of. And so when He evaluates us and He gives us what to do to help, He gives us a plan of action. So when we trust Him, we become appropriate in everything that we do. The plan of God that He reveals to us may puzzle us. It may make you think. It may make you wonder. But because it came from Him, there's peace in it and there's joy. Even when it's a rebuke, whatever God do, it's the end game of it is a healing process for somebody or everybody. So, you know, when you help one person see Christ for who He is, you're affecting others as well. He has family, friends, loved ones, business associates. Everybody is affected when one person looks to the Lord and involves Him in his life. Because everything changes. His ability to pray increases. And the Lord, when he evaluates things, He has a perfect response always. When you study the judgments of nations that the prophet spoke, like Isaiah talked about what would happen to Moab, what would happen to Damascus. Some of it hadn't even happened yet. What would happen to Egypt? What would happen to Ethiopia? This is a response for what they did in before their days, and the pattern is set which their generations will do after their days. And the end result is what's going to happen. So the things that was written about Damascus, for instance, it wouldn't even be, you know, it's going to be destroyed. That's the path. That's what they put in place a long time ago. So if you are a citizen of Syria in Damascus, and you said, you know, I don't want to see the city burned up. I don't want to see it destroyed and taken over. And you go out and warn your friends and tell them what the prophet said. And let them know, if we believe on Jesus now and we start repenting, maybe this can be avoided. And if enough people get on board, it will be avoided. That's the purpose of prophecy. Because it's headed down the wrong path. And when people come to the Lord in these places, they see the doom that's going to happen to it. But the curse causes will not come. If you change the facts on the ground ahead of time, you can avert the demise of the place. So When the Lord is doing judgment, things have been put in place a long time ago. And if there's no repentance, then it will happen. But if people repent, it can be it can all be avoided. Now, what the prophets saw, they saw. And what the Lord gives us to do is a response to something that He knows of. That's why it's very important to do your part and cooperate. What if Isaiah said that prophecy is too strong? That'll make people upset. I just don't want to let them know this one. If he didn't do his job, the Lord would have had to fire him and get somebody else. Because people have to be warned. We have to follow through for the sake of life. If people are headed down the wrong track and they don't have warning, it's going to definitely happen. And the man that was supposed to warn them will be in trouble because he didn't watch for their souls. See, when you're a watchman, when you're looking out to protect the city, and you see the enemy coming and you don't say anything, then that blood will be on your hands. But if you sound the trumpet and the people hear the trumpet and don't prepare for war, when they get killed, that blood will be on their own hands. This is made clear in the book of Ezekiel. And all of his righteousness will be forgotten because he didn't do what he should do. He didn't warn the people. When God tells us to do something, it's not optional. It's imperative. But when people say, well, I'm not sure it's the Lord, that's not true. You know when the Lord is talking to you, and you know when he's not. If you're not sure, if you're puzzled, all you have to do is ask the Lord for confirmation. As long as I've been in faith about something, God is always, he always gave me a confirmation. And he can taste some things that make you sit down and think a while. But I know it's true. When he tell me things that's hard to believe, I understand. And when I tell people what he told me, and I only do that if he prompt me to or if I trust that person enough to share it with them. And over the years, I had to get better. I don't just share things with people. But when I trust people, I'm prone to. And the Lord told me some things that's just interesting. And I have to believe it. I sought him. And when he give me the answer, I have to run with it. I have to go with it. I can't go back to not knowing. Once you know, you know. You know, now you got to deal with this fact that you understand. And this happened yesterday. I've been asking the Lord about the Laodicean church. There's some things I don't know about. When I first started reading it, I thought that the Laodicean church was God's people, just need to wake up a little bit. But it's more than that. The clue is this: when the Lord said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth," that got my attention. I said something. I started looking at it in a deeper way. Now, our culture looks at it more like I did because I came out of that culture. It's just people that need to get busy. But it's more than that. When the Lord said, "You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked," when I examined it, that's a description of a sinner, not a Christian. In fact, that's a description of a person that knows better and does worse. It's one thing to be a sinner not understand the ways of God. And you know, you'll do lost things. But when you've been taught right, when you have a reputation, when you wear God's name, you have a reputation of being the people of God, and you operate like the world, that's a problem. That's a terrible problem. And that's why the Lord said they know better, but they won't budge. They won't repent. And Jesus said, if you don't repent, I'll spit you out of my mouth. They're like the wild grapes of Isaiah 5. God did everything for him. He washed him in his blood. He made steps to heal him, his broken body. He healed him. By Jesus' stripes, they're healed. They know this. They've operated in it. He gave them his word. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. Gave them the fivefold ministry to help them throughout the ages. Even made them priests and kings. And then they go back to the world. And they do, sin is something that people do on purpose. When you're a Christian, you don't have to sin. If you sin, it's because you chose to. You wanted to do it. Nobody makes a man sin. Even when they want people to take the mark, they don't force the mark on them. It's willing. You gotta take this mark by choice, or get your head cut off, or get killed. According to the Word of God, that's the, you know, you gotta choose to, on purpose. Satan don't want you he want people to choose to take the mark. Or you won't be able to buy a sale. Or you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to buy medicine. You won't be able, you know, you won't be a citizen of my kingdom. And when people take the mark, every people that don't have the word in their heart, they'll be glad to take that mark. To them, Jesus is nothing. The things of God is nothing. Hearsay. But when you knew better, when you've tasted, you've seen the things of God, you've experienced the fruits of the Spirit. And then you turn from him, that's evil. Now, one scripture said that when, I have to find it, but it's impossible to bring people back after they have, after they know better. And it's important to know it. I found it. It's Hebrews 6. Now listen to verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God. You know, in other words, Jesus once told us, he said, learn of me. You know, that's important. You're leaving the principles. You're building on the foundation. You're not walking away from the principles. You're building on top of it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You do these things. You learn about them to do them. Not learn about them to focus on it. You learn about it to do it. Okay, verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection from the dead, of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now watch this. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiving blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is near to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And he did that. We talked about covenant abilities. Verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, just like we're going to do. In verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. By two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, or whether forerunner is for us entreated, even Jesus made an high priest, out even after the order of Melchizedek. So it's important for us to go on and know the Lord, to know him, so that we can be like the good fruit, not the thorns. Now, what sense does it make to receive salvation, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, operate in the fruits of the Spirit, and operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and then turn from all that to live a life of debauchery, like the Laodiceans did? I was thinking yesterday about the Laodiceans and tares, and the Lord spoke to me, and it kind of floored me. I couldn't connect these dots, but he said, the Laodiceans are tares. I had to sit down and just process this, but he's right. And the things that Jesus said about the Laodicean church fits the bill of a sinner: wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have no covenant. They have no covenant. They can't see their situation. They esteem themselves to be, they're increased with goods. They think they're all right with God. But they're not. And because they're not right with God, they because they're increased with goods, they think, or they have possessions, but they're poor. They don't see that situation. They think they're in covenant, but they're not, because they chose another path. And this has become a snare to them. God loves us, and he set us up to do well. He set us up to win, and we have a taste of what it is to know God. There's no reason to turn and reject God. And there's no reason to fall after the ways of Satan. God loves us. Now, Hosea 6, he prophesied something. He says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now, watch this. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now watch this. Now this is what the work of Jesus. Jesus brought us to the point that we can live in the sight of God. Now watch verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. If we follow on to know the Lord, if we follow on to know the Lord, we're going to be appropriate more than inappropriate. When the Lord gives revelation, we'll use it to do better in life and to cause others to be a blessing. As we follow on to know the Lord, we'll be appropriate in our ways, in our speech, in our conduct, in our activity, even in our work. People will see that we're going forward. It'll make a difference. And when you're learning of the Lord in that, to that caliber, what happens to the advice that you give? What happens to your the way you persuade people, your influence? Everything goes up. But when people start playing with the world, Satan hijacks and takes control of their life. And guess what? Things start going down. And see, what happened is the Holy Spirit will, when you see the train wreck coming and your heart starts going the wrong way, he'll convict you. And the first time he convicts you, you'll know it. If you repent, you're secure. You'll learn to live without the sin. You'll learn to drive the sin out of your life. You'll work to drive it out. But what happens is some people, they start liking the sin. Whatever kind it is. It can be something stupid like strife. Some people seem to want to be in strife. They seem to thrive on it. So when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, they don't respond. And their heart gets harder. And their will gets weaker in that area. Now they still may love God over here, but now they have an attachment to Satan himself. And I hear the sad story of so many men getting into pornography. They're looking at women as objects, not people. And the Lord taught me something. In any kind of sin, it takes a level of hatred to cross the line and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know God said don't do it. Sin is something you don't want around. The Lord did so much work to get us out of that problem. But when people go back to it, the Holy Spirit will, if they slip up or if they sin or if they're thinking about it, the Lord will convict them. And if you don't do something about it, then he'll probably do it one more time. But if you see, when your heart gets too hard, he'll stop. You crossed over. And some, you know, that don't mean that they love Satan. They love his bait. But his bait caused them to eventually be his slave. To the point that they will be an enemy against God. Now Jesus put it this way. He said, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? So when people have the friendship of the world, and the Lord give them something important to do, that's not important anymore. Serving the sin is more important now. And because their heart has begun to harden, the demise of others don't really matter. It's a systematic, slow process. When you start down that road, nothing changes. People see you like they always did. They don't know that you're beginning in the beginning stages of darkness. But over time, compared to the Word of God, you become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and out of covenant, naked. Terrible situation. And you begin to do the works of a tear instead of the works of Jesus. Instead of the works of a wheat. But when the Lord give us something important to do, the enemy, here he comes with his ways. He always try to launch attacks, thought attacks, even sickness, anything. So when the Lord give you an assignment, first thing I do is bless it. And then I go to warfare mode and protect it. And then I protect my family and loved ones. Because he'll use whoever he can, the weakest link, to hinder you. He don't want people to know what God is giving you. Because every time we learn from the Lord, we become more powerful, and he becomes less powerful and more outclassed. The average Christian outclasses Satan because they have covenant with God, who knows all things, and Satan has no covenant. Satan don't want you attached to God, who knows how to defeat him. He is afraid of you. He is afraid of you because of the covenant. And he will do anything in his mind that he think will work to keep you from the covenant of God. So you can't go by what you see. When people are out of covenant with God and they rebuke Satan, Satan will act like he'll act defeated because he got them, because they're in sin and they're disconnected, they're without covenant, they're vulnerable, they're half dead now, but they don't know it. So he has to keep them in a state of stupor. And I learned this from fighting him a long time ago and asking questions and learning from the Lord. The enemy, I know his tactics. I learned them in the most unusual ways. When James Robinson was committing adultery, on the tape that he gave, I learned something that you just can't learn any other way. He was pastoring, but he was in an affair. And I love James. He repented since then. And, you know, it's important. I'm glad that he shared what he shared because it gave me insight. And I love his ministry. I don't hold people back to their faults. But he said something that I'll never forget, and it helped me a lot in a lot of ways. It helped me to have an insight. I don't know if I could have learned it another way. But what happened is the church had a revival. And the revival went well. People were worshiping God. And the Spirit of God was moving. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, why did you move in that revival like that? And you know I wasn't right with you." Now he humbled himself. He wanted to know. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "The devil's fooling you, boy." He said, "When the people come to church, the enemy ordered the demons, the evil spirits, to back off so that the people would have a high time in the Lord and it would mimic a strong move of God." I said, "Man, Satan acted defeated to fool him, to make him think it was all right." Now, how many preachers are fooled? You know, I'm hearing that, you know, people that's on TV even, God done blessed them to come to a point that they can minister to so many thousands of people, and they're having an affair. Satan's fooling them. Now, I'm not picking on anybody on TV. Sometimes that's the God have given people that to win souls. God is trying to win everybody. And he raised up people for others. And the church need to be praying for their leadership, that their faith fail not. If Satan distract them somewhere, then when the Lord comes to them with a healing message to appropriately make the difference, they're out in wild field. And if they're out in wild field, they can't help anybody. They won't have a mind to. You cannot follow God with Satan's mindset. In other words, authority is real, but you have to be subject to Jesus from your heart. And it has to be true, and it has to be pure, and it has to be sincere. Or your authority is no good. If you're in sin, you don't have authority. Satan has it. Satan hijacks our authority through our sin. You have to live without it. But when you do, the rewards are great, and you have kingdom covenant abilities again. Kingdom covenant abilities. And the Lord can show you how to help others in their time of crisis. And you can be a watchman, a warning voice. You if you're a dead watchman, you ain't going to be no good to God. You got to be alive, full of life. You got to follow on to know the Lord so you can learn the wiles of the devil before he trip you up. Now, the purpose of this broadcast is to show you how important it is. You are very important to the Lord. You have kingdom covenant abilities, so use them. Because He gave us His best, and He deserves our best from us. And our best is through Christ, who strengthens us. Go on and know the Lord and follow through with all that He gave you. And backtrack and find where you've not been obedient, and be obedient from this point on. And maybe God can complete the work that He started in you. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God so you can stay.